want answers?
I want the truth!
Then you want Dave Hodges!
The Common Sense Show. You can't dodge the Hodge.
Good evening, America, and welcome to a very special edition of the Common Sense Show. Hi, everybody. I'm your host, Dave Hodges, and we're coming to you coast to coast on a multitude of AM and FM stations through North America on KU Band Satellite and, of course, worldwide on the Internet, which you can always reach us at www.republicbroadcasting.org. Tonight's show, the balance of it, is devoted to 9/11 here on 9/12/2010. And it's my great fear, and I wrote about this on News with Views recently, it's my great fear that 9/11 and the unanswered questions, and I have 20 of them, will fade into obscurity in the annals of history, much like the Kennedy assassination has for most Americans. And I think we owe it to the 3,000 murdered victims on that day to get to the bottom of what really happened on 9/11, further pursue the truth, and bring those to final justice, whether they be terrorists or insiders or outsiders, bring them to justice once and for all. It's a great honor tonight to have Dr. Jim Fetzer as our guest on the Common Sense Show. Annie DeRisa, our news director, will be joining us later. Jim was born in Pasadena, California on the 6th of December of 1940. He graduated from South Pasadena High School in 1958, where he was presented the Carver Award for Leadership. He was magna cum laude at Princeton University in 1962 in philosophy. He was a second lieutenant in the Marine Corps. He became an artillery officer and served his country proudly in the Far East. Jim has published more than 100 articles and reviews and 20 books in the philosophy of science, on theoretical foundations of computer science, artificial intelligence, and cognitive science. On this webpage, on his webpage, his publications have been designed by area, including one vitae for computer science, artificial intelligence, and most importantly to me, my special hobby, as you know, is undigging or uncovering the truth of the Kennedy assassination. He devotes a whole section to that as well. And at great risk to his professional reputation almost a decade ago, Jim defied the mainstream media pundits and founded the 9/11 Scholars for Truth movement. And it is our distinct pleasure to have Jim on the show once again. So without further ado, let's welcome Dr. Fetzer to the show. Thanks for joining us, Jim.
Hey, Dave, it's great to be here. I actually made captain before I resigned my commission and went to graduate school to earn my PhD in the history and philosophy of science. And I'm proud to say that my 29th book has just appeared. It's entitled The Place of Probability in Science, which I co-edited with the distinguished philosopher from the University of Wisconsin, Ellery Ells.
29 books, and I'm trying to crank out my first. I don't know how you do it, Jim. It just
the first is the hardest, let me assure you.
It's a mystery. I think I've changed my title about five times, and the focus of what I'm doing. I know what I want to say, but I just have trouble putting the final touches on it. 29 books is certainly a great accomplishment. And you're a man after my own heart, because as we know, for those that are living today, defining generational moments are the stock market crash for the more elderly in our society, the bombing of Pearl Harbor in December of 41, the Kennedy assassination in November of 63, and of course, 9/11 attacks 2001 involving the World Trade Center buildings 1, 2, and 7, as well as the Pentagon, four crashed airliners on that day. And Jim, you've been at this now for some time, and you keep going with the same zeal and enthusiasm as when I first heard you and became familiar with your work. What drives you?
Well, as a philosopher, Dave, I have a commitment to truth. And as a philosopher of science, I recognize that science is our most reliable method for discovering what is the truth. And as a former Marine Corps officer, I care about the future of my country. And when you combine those together with my background in analytical philosophy, I just turn out to be somebody who wants to take on the complex, complicated, messy issues and drive to the bottom to sort out what actually happened especially for...
Well, we're going to do that, Jim. We're running out of time for this segment, but let me get back to this topic about what drives Jim Fetzer, and we'll explore 9/11 in more detail after a word from these sponsors.
Naturopathic doctor and his views on Cartavite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right, to fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work. We can just put them on Cartavite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them, and what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. That yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect, and most of the other herbs in there I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut, it's working on the liver, it's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cartavite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cartavite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
The Grainmaker Grain Mill. Handmade goodness since 1999. Handcrafted stainless steel and high-quality alloys. There has not been a finer grain mill made right here in the great state of Montana. Hand-operated, the grain mill does it all. Wheat, corn, peanut butter, rye, rice, coffee, beans, flaxseed, all grain types. Make your own gluten-free flour. Experience the satisfaction of providing wholesome, nutritious foods for your family without additives or preservatives. Each mill is handcrafted with manufacturer's lifetime warranty. To order your grain mill, call us at 1-800-724-2719 or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Take a look at why this grain mill will be passed down through generation.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
Welcome back, everybody. Our special guest this evening is Dr. Jim Fetzer, former retired professor from Minnesota Duluth, and you were professor emeritus, and how long have you been retired, Jim?
Since June of 2006, Dave. I retired after 35 years of college teaching, mostly logic, critical thinking, and scientific reasoning.
Well, Jim, I have to believe that when you launched the 9/11 Scholars for Truth, you were aware of the potential risks that faced you, such as what happened to Stephen Jones?
Well, I'd done quite a lot of research on JFK at that point in time. I published my first book, Assassination Science, bringing together 11 experts on different aspects of the case in 1998, and Murder in Dealey Plaza, 9 experts. Many think it's the best book ever published on the assassination in 2000. In 2003, then I published a great Zapruder film hoax with 6 experts. It's a more technical subject. I'd been well supported by the university in all these efforts. It probably helped that there was an associate dean in the graduate school who really liked my work.
Yeah, that definitely helped. But unfortunately, we know that a lot of professors and academic types have been blackballed, censored, denied research grants, in some cases forced into retirement or fired over this. And I guess my question is, why? What are we afraid of?
Well, Dave, I think it's a suppression of the truth. The Bush-Cheney administration feared most of all, the American people learning what actually had happened on 9/11. They put off forming a commission for 441 days, when they finally appeared before it, they wouldn't testify under oath and went together. I mean, what could be more telling of consciousness of guilt? And you're right, there are at least four faculty I know right off the bat who have suffered some indignities over this. William Woodward at the University of New Hampshire, Judy Wood at VPI and State University, the Stephen Jones, of course, at BYU, and then Kevin Barrett right here at the University of Wisconsin. Kevin's been basically blackballed from schools in Wisconsin, though right now he does. He has finally resecured an appointment teaching a course in Wisconsin, in Milwaukee.
Well, Jim, when professors come out with statements based on their own research, like Steve Jones did, shouldn't the peer review process be the ultimate judge, not some arbitrary public opinion?
Well, you know, I think it's no coincidence that Bush just happened to drop by and visit with the president of the Mormon Church about that time. And I think a lot of pressure was put on BYU to put Steve in a little box so that his department even published on their website that his research didn't represent the views of the department. I think there's just a tremendous fear of the truth becoming known about 9/11.
Well, let me raise a few questions that I have raised publicly, and I'm sometime waiting for the hammer and the axe to fall on me as well, because I'm in academia as well. I mean, I'm technically retired, but I have returned to work in my former position. And so, you know, I say this, I think, with some personal trepidation too, but I want to get down to the bottom of some of these things, because I want my questions answered in a way that they weren't when JFK was killed. What happened to the four black boxes of the four airliners that crashed on that day?
Well, that's a good question. In fact, just what planes were involved and whether any black boxes were discovered is an interesting question. Elias Davidson, for example, has published a very important article in which he shows that the government has never been able to prove that any of the hijackers were aboard any of the planes. Flights 11 and 77 weren't even scheduled to fly that day, which strongly suggests they weren't in the air. If you study the Nade video of the hit on the North Tower, there's a flying something there, but it most certainly isn't a 767. If you go to one of my presentations on this, No Lies Radio on its archives has most recent, and I'll give you the precise number for that in a moment, but the Pentagon wasn't hit by a 757, but one appears to have flown over it. Shanksville appears to be a complete fraud. There's no evidence of any plane having crashed there. The story the government's given of why there are no parts is preposterous, to wit that it went disappeared into an abandoned mine shaft. But Dave, we know what to do with miners trapped in mine shafts. We get out the bright lights and the heavy equipment and dig 24/7 in the hope that by some miracle one of them will have survived. That was not done in Shanksville. You'd think they were just going to leave all those bodies to rot in the ground. You would have thought at least there'd be a major excavation to recover the bodies, but that did not happen. And of course, in terms of the South Tower, Flight 175, maybe most mysteriously, although we have videos, they show impossible feats. They show an aircraft flying faster than is aerodynamically possible. We show the plane disappearing into the building without having any collision with that massive 500,000-ton building. We find, if you count the frames, that the plane passes through its own length into the building, and the same number of frames it passes through its own length in air, implying that the building provide no more resistance than in air. So we're clearly looking at some form of fakery. The question becomes, what kind of fakery? I interviewed a witness who had worked for 3 years in the South Tower before 9/11. He worked in the South Tower over the weekend because there had been a power outage, restoring, you know, the software operation for his company. He just happened to take the day off on Tuesday, but he actually saw the plane and reported to me how it disappeared into the building. It just disappeared. It was like the building swallowed it up. And then he also reported, and this fellow's name is Scott Forbes. He's a UK citizen who came to the U.S., and he seems to be completely reliable, very down-to-earth, very intelligent and observant. And he said when the tower started to turn into, well, very fine particles. He said it was like a sandcastle. He said it thought it was dissolving into sand. And in fact, what we have is something very weird with the North and South Tower, because they're exploding from the top down. All the floors remain stationary, waiting their turn until they're blown to kingdom come, in the memorable phrase of Morgan Reynolds. And you got to realize, you know, in the South Tower, Dave, the top 30 floors actually tilted over, pivoted, and started to fall to the ground when, as even Steve Jones has described it, it turned into dust. The top 30 floors turned into dust. And what that means is, in the case of the South Tower, there wasn't a top 30 floors above the 80th floor where the presumptive aircraft allegedly hit to exert any downward force. And what you had was 80 floors that were basically stone-cold steel. So there was no reason in the world why the South Tower should have undergone any kind of destruction, much less a collapse. And in the case of the North Tower, you had something hitting around the 94th floor, so you got the top 16 floors that, if they were, if all the support columns on say the 94th floor had broken at the same time, Dave, then you would have 16 floors fall onto the bottom 96. But I have a physics and math teacher from high school, and I've always insisted that the physics involved here was high school level, calculate that there were 199 units of upward support for that building. If you consider that top 16 floor to be one unit of downward force, there's no way it could have happened. And again, in the North Tower, all those other floors are stone-cold steel. So the government's given us a preposterous claim. And in fact, the buildings, Dave, were actually destroyed below ground level. I had Father Frank Morales on my show twice, and he was among the first responders from St. Mark's Church, and he described how astonished he was that there wasn't a stack of pancakes for the North or the South Tower, which in the case of 110-story buildings would have had to be about 15 floors high if they'd been there.
Yes, I've read that too.
In contrast with Building 7, Dave, where, as you know, there was 5.5 floors or so of pancakes.
Well, where did all the debris go?
Well, it appears to have been converted into millions of cubic yards of very fine dust, by and large. Some chunks of steel were blown outward. Some of them were quite massive, which implies an enormous force. And if you look at the pattern of the debris, you see it's actually upward. It kind of has a banana peel-like display, upward and outward. There's nothing here that constitutes a pancake collapse, which would have been actually physically impossible from the point of view of the design of the buildings, is concrete and steel reinforced buildings with a very intricate lattice structure. Building 7, however, which came down at 5:20 in the afternoon, a 47-story building that was extremely robust in its construction, was a classic controlled demolition. All the floors fall at the same time. You can actually see the explosion from the base. They work up the side to the top. You get that characteristic kink. And it came down at free fall, which means there was no resistance to the building as it collapsed into its own foundation at that rapid speed, a complete, abrupt, and total collapse.
Well, one of the things that always disturbed me, Jim, is you have an asymmetrical event with, taking the government's word for it, airliners crashing into buildings, but you get a symmetrical pancaking crash. Now, when I was a child in Denver, my dad took me to see the Median F 12-story building demolition, and I recall vividly that there was a lot of pile of rubble and debris and solid stone at the bottom. And clearly, with a building that's almost 10 times that size, the debris field at the bottom should have been massive, not fine dust.
Right, right, right. Should have been equal to about 12% of the height of the building, which would be, 10% would be 11 floors plus 2% more. So add a couple more, around 14 or 15 floors worth of debris. But you didn't have that at all. And the point you make initially is quite correct. I mean, listen, the jet fuel is made of kerosene. It doesn't burn all that hot. And the fact is, most of it was consumed in that first 10 or 15 seconds with those spectacular fireballs. The National Institute of Standards and Technology, which has carried the heavy water for the government on all of this, actually studied 236 samples of steel from the Twin Towers, and found 233 had not been exposed to temperatures over 500 degrees Fahrenheit, which is the temperature of an ordinary office fire.
In no way those girders could have collapsed then with that lack of heat.
No.
Jim,
no.
Sit tight. We'll be back with more on the other side after a word from these sponsors.
Help, I've fallen and I can't get up. If you have an elderly loved one, please listen. Whether it's fire danger, a serious fall, or other type of home emergency, Life Alert is there for you. The company with the slogan, Help, I've Fallen and I Can't Get Up, protects 60,000 members.
The first time I fell in that bedroom and I couldn't reach the phone.
When you have a heart attack like I did and there's no one there, Life Alert was there for me.
Having a secure feeling through Life Alert is ideal.
My independence is possible because of it.
Listen to former U.S. Surgeon General Dr. C. Everett Koop.
Thanks to Life Alert, you can live alone without ever being alone. That's why I wear one.
With Life Alert protection, elderly people can often postpone going to a nursing home for several years. For a free brochure about Life Alert service, call now 1-800-410-0739. 1-800-410-0739. Call Life Alert now for your free brochure, 1-800-410-0739.
Do you need help getting your child to behave? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman. And I'm willing to give away thousands of my best-selling total transformation programs for free. All you do is tell us how the program works for you and your family. Did it turn around your child's behavior? Did the screaming and arguing stop in your home? Is he doing better in school? The total transformation has helped hundreds of thousands of families. I want to see what it can do for you, and I'm willing to let you have it for free. Just order my program, use it with your child, then send me your feedback. I'll refund the purchase price of the program. You keep the Total Transformation Program forever, for free. You don't have to struggle with your child's bad behavior one more day, because now you can try my Total Transformation, and the program will be free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Don't answer it.
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
Welcome back to the Common Sense Show. Our special guest this evening is Dr. James Fetzer. And joining us shortly will be our news director, Andy DeRiso, to help me conduct this interview, as Andy will be calling in on our newsmaker line. And Jim, question for you. I do agree that when I witnessed the plane crashing into the first tower, the description of the building apparently swallowing the plane is inaccurate. It looks like an unnatural event to me also. But answer this question that I've been asked many times. If the planes did not actually crash into the World Trade Centers, as we were told, and did not crash into the Pentagon, what happened to the people?
Well, that's a good question. You know, there were some 1,100 alleged victims of the Twin Towers who were never recovered, not an arm, not a leg, not a fingernail. So something very, very strange seems to have been going on here. As far as the passengers, there are a couple of theories about it. If the flights were fake, and I think there's an awful lot of evidence to support that, for example, the National Transportation Safety Board hasn't conducted an investigation of any of these four crashes, the only time in its history it hasn't done so. When an FBI agent was asked why there hadn't been an investigation, he said it wasn't necessary because we saw it on television. Colonel George Nelson, a U.S. Air Force expert, has observed that between these four planes, you had millions of uniquely identifiable component parts. and yet the government is yet to produce a single one of those component parts from any of those crash sites. David Ray Griffin has been studying the phone calls that were allegedly made from the planes and has discovered that they were all fake. Even the alleged phone call that Barbara Olson made to Ted Olson, perhaps the most famous of them all, of which Ted Olson gave three different explanations as to how it was done, is a call that the FBI has confirmed was never actually made. So we have what appears to be an elaborate fantasy, which I think is what we would expect from the executive director of the 9/11 Commission. His name is Philip Zelikow. Dave, I was absolutely astonished that Zelikow came from the inner sanctum of the Bush administration, not that he co-authored a book with Condoleezza Rice, but his area of professional expertise as an academician was the creation and maintenance of public myths, M-Y-T-H-S. In other words, the man is a master of mythology, and what he gave us on 9/11 is a myth. It's a story that has virtually no support if you consider it to be suspended in space with little anchors hanging down that anchor it to the ground, like the phone calls, like the hijackers, like the crashes and all that. If you investigate any of those little links, you find they don't go anywhere, that they're all refutable. I've simply been astonished, Dave, to find that everything, virtually everything, the government has told us about 9/11 is false.
I don't disagree with you, but let me pursue along the devil's advocate line, because to accept one's faulty explanation, perhaps we can chalk it up to ineptitude. But what's always bothered me, Jim, is why there was a change in the scramble intercept procedure 3 months prior to 9/11 so that jets are off course. We changed the shoot down orders. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure, of course, yeah. Rumsfeld had, instead of the area commanders having the right to determine whether or not to shoot down a plane, now it all had to go through Secretary of Defense Rumsfeld. He had to give his personal authorization. And, of course, it's quite mysterious that for 2 hours as the events were unfolding on 9/11, Rumsfeld was nowhere to be found. Eventually, turns out, on the Pentagon lawn, helping to carry off some purportedly injured, you know, some victim of the crash and explosion. But that's hardly where this man should be. And afterwards, now it's subsequently reverted to what was the standard operating procedure prior to that. My suspicion is, in some of your listeners, Dave, who know the film War Games, one of my all-time favorites, realize that when Crystal Palace sent fighters up there to verify that these Russian bombers were headed toward the United States crossing Alaska, they went up there to check it out and reported back to Crystal Palace that there was nothing there. I think that the reason for all these interdictions, for all these phony terrorist drills, anti-terrorist drills that were taking place, and Webster Tarpley's report there were as many as 17, was to prevent intercepts from going up there to check out the hijacked planes and finding they were not there.
As many as 17?
Yep. He's got them all enumerated in a new introduction to Synthetic Terror 9/11 Made in the USA.
Yeah, I'm going to definitely have to make that a required read on my part. But it's always bothered me along those lines why the government hasn't addressed the coincidence, in quotes, of Abel Danger.
Yeah, well, of course, Abel Danger was an operation launched by the military in 1999 to engage in anti-terrorist research. And, you know, it's entirely possible that in this case, as in others, it was actually used as a cover for planning the attack on the Trade Center and the Pentagon, Dave. I mean, I think that's as reasonable an explanation as any. Because, look, you got this fantastic story of these 19 alleged hijackers who are supposed to take over these four commercial carriers, outfox the most sophisticated air defense system in the world, and perpetrate these atrocities under the control of a guy off in Afghanistan. And they didn't have the goods, they didn't have the ability, they couldn't have flown the planes, and they couldn't even have got aboard the aircraft without there having been tickets and receipts and all that sort of thing. When CNN,
well, Jim, let's hold it right there because we're up against the break. And, Jim, you're right. Good point made. As we come back after the break, folks, we're going to really jump into this. We're just getting started. See you on the other side.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth. Attention, all business owners. Save up to 20% free of charge on your business, gas, and electric energy supply bill. Call 1-800-641-5880. Due to deregulation of gas and electric utilities by the federal government, businesses in 16 states can receive up to 20% savings off their energy supply bill. This program is not for residences. It's only for businesses. Call 800-641-5880 for a list of qualifying states or visit RBN's website at www.republicbroadcasting.org. Enrollment is easy and completely free. No hidden costs, no interruption of service, and no cancellation fees. Don't delay. It takes 30 to 60 days to enroll. Call 1-800-641-5880. Thousands of businesses everywhere are saving money. Small offices and restaurants to large hotels, hospitals, municipalities, major fast food chains, and factories. This is a no-brainer. Your business is entitled to save this money free of charge. Call 1-800-641-5880. It's easy. Start saving money now. Just call 1-800-641-5880.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and in some instances your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Speaking of News with Views, you might want to go up there after the show. Don't leave this interview because we've got more ahead here that's promised to be riveting. But I did write an article of 20 unanswered questions on 9/11, and I linked some of those events into the JFK assassination. And, Jim, one of the things that really strikes me about this event is these 19 box-cutter-carrying terrorists needed outside help to ground our Air Force, as we were making the point going into the break. They could not have orchestrated this timing any more perfectly, and I think it defies all logic to think that they were acting independently and just got lucky.
Yeah, I mean, they were patsies. I mean, just like Lee Oswald. In fact, David Ray Griffin, in his impressive study of the 9/11 Commission report, which is entitled The 9/11 Commission Report, Omissions and Distortions, makes as his very first point that six or seven of these guys have turned up alive and well after the events of 9/11, living in the Middle East, some of which were interviewed by British news sources. So that the whole thing is a preposterous sham. You know, this is just a fraud being perpetrated on the American people, and even the director of the FBI, Robert Mueller, was obviously involved in this, not to mention
George W. Bush, Dick Cheney, Donald Rumsfeld, you know, Paul Wolfowitz, Donald Fife, Richard Perle, General Richard Myers, Larry Silverstein, Rudy Giuliani. I mean, there's quite an impressive list of players who had a role here. But the idea that they would have found this list, this very convenient list of 19 collaborators in a piece of luggage that Mohammed Atta allegedly left behind when he rushed from an airport in Maine, Portland, Maine, down to Logan, and barely, according to the official account, barely made the flight, all of which is nonsense anyway, but left behind a piece of luggage that just happened to have this convenient list. I mean, just imagine, Dave, if you were engaged in some illegal activity, would you make a list of your cohorts in crime?
I don't think so, but what's a sad commentary here is people running this government, maybe rightfully so, think that most of the public is dumber than a box of rocks.
Well, I know it. I know it's true. They're playing us for saps. Actually, I got a friend. You know, I mentioned David Ray Griffin's study about the phone calls having been faked. Actually, it had been preceded by research by a computer scientist at Western Ontario in Canada by the name of A.K. Dudney, who flew around the country with three different types of cell phones and found that at speeds greater than 200 miles an hour and altitudes above 2,000 feet, the cell phones just don't work because the microwave relay towers can't relay the messages fast enough. And, you know, as far as Flight 93, from which we had all these phone calls, including the Todd Beamer Let's Roll call, which was, you know, immortalized into a folk heroism.
And
the Flight 77 that was alleged to have hit the Pentagon, those were both Boeing 757s. Well, in 2001, 757s didn't have airphones either. So those calls couldn't have come from airphones because they weren't in Boeing 757s in 2001. And, of course, as Dudney'd already shown, they can't have come from cell phone calls either. I have a friend here in Madison named Rolf Lindgren, who's done research on the phone calls, too, and come up with 15 additional anomalies beyond what David Ray Griffin had discovered, which includes that two of the calls, the Todd Beamer call and one by Jeremy Glick, Todd Beamer's lasted 48 minutes till 10:48, and the Jeremy Glick to something like 10:42, but Dave, the plane allegedly crashed at 10 o'clock. So you got Jeremy, you got these two phone calls that are lasting 40 minutes or more after the plane has crashed. Now, how can you explain that?
Well, you can't, and it leads me to another question. I can't believe that they think that this many people could be this stupid for this long. And it's been posed to me when I raised these 20 questions, I received an email from somebody who said, "How, if they were going to plan this the way that they did, the insiders, couldn't they have done a better job? Wouldn't they have thought of
Dave,
more of these contingencies?"
Dave, are you there?
I'm here.
Dave, are you there?
Yes, Jim, I am. I can hear you. We seem to be having a connection problem on your end.
Yeah, you can't hear me, but I could not hear you when you started to read the question you got from an email.
Okay, let me go back and repeat that.
Yeah.
One of the questions I was asked was, these people are obviously professional, somewhat good at what they do, you think, or they would have employed people good at cover-ups. Why wouldn't they do a more professional job instead of making such bumbling errors?
Dave, again, I can't hear you, but I got the thrust of it. I mean, you know, mistakes are made all the time. I mean, it's like, why, if you're going to frame Lee Oswald, would you use a weapon that can't have fired the bullets that killed the president? Because the Mannlicher Carcano, it only has a muzzle velocity of 2,000 feet per second. That makes it a medium velocity weapon, where medium velocity ranges from 1,600 to 2,600 feet per second, rather than high velocity, because the bullets that killed JFK were reported by the Warren Commission, the death certificates, and even articles that appear in the Journal of the American Medical Association to be high velocity. So why would they do something that dumb? In fact, we have multiple co-workers of Oswald, too, who saw him down around the lunchroom on the second floor at 10 minutes to 12, at 12, at 12:15, as late as 12:25. The assassination takes place at 12:30, and he's confronted in the lunchroom by a motorcycle officer named Marion Baker, who holds him in his sights until his supervisor, Roy Truly, arrives to confirm that this is an employee who belongs there.
Plus, Marina would observe later that Lee admired JFK and bore him no malice, which means that the man fingered by the Warren Commission had neither the motive, the means, nor the opportunity to kill him.
Well, you know, yeah, the whole story about why Kennedy was killed by Oswald. Oswald, his cover, or let's take his word at it, his cover story, at base value, that he killed Kennedy because of anti-Castro, anti-Cuban feelings. But wait a minute. Kennedy killed the air cover for the Bay of Pigs, so that should make him somewhat of a hero in the eyes of someone who admired Fidel Castro.
Well, the idea was they were Lee Oswald appears to have been recruited by the Office of Naval Intelligence when he was a Marine. He was given Russian language training. He appears to have performed a pseudo-defection to the Soviet Union, quite possibly to provide information about the altitude of the U-2 flights. He had been stationed at the most secure base from which they originated in Atsugi, Japan. When he returned to the United States, he wasn't treated as a traitor. He was actually met by a CIA front organization given money to help relocate. He wound up down in New Orleans, where he was dealing with right-wingers, former FBI agents and all that, but yet posing as a pro-communist Castro sympathizer, handing out leaflets. This was all giving him a false persona. Yes. So that when the assassination took place, they could claim that Castro was involved and justify attacking Cuba, which all the chiefs wanted to do, but which Jack Kennedy had opposed.
You know what's interesting, Jim, about the course of this conversation? The listeners are probably wondering, well, wait a minute, Dave, I thought you and Jim were going to talk about 9/11. But when you start talking about 9/11, it has some eerie coincidences to JFK, doesn't it?
Well, it does. I mean, just to offer one example, I mean, Lee Oswald was a mediocre shot. I used to supervise recruit training at the same recruit depot and rifle range, Edson Range at Camp Pendleton, where he took his training. I was a few years behind him. I used to have 300 recruits and 15 DIs under my command. Oswald shot a 212 in 1957 as a recruit, when many Marines do their best shooting then because they're under most intense training. But in 1958, he didn't qualify at all, which violates the standing order that requires every Marine from the lowest private to highest general to qualify, suggesting he was on some special assignment, which I take to have been studying Russian language. And then in 1959, he qualified with a 191. Well, that's just barely qualifying, and that means he dropped 21 points between 57 and 59. There's no evidence he maintained his marksmanship, which is a very practice-dependent activity. There's no telling how bad a shot he could have been by 1963.
Yeah, and then the comparison that we have 19 the pilots, box cutters, you know, with that mediocre skills.
Yeah, the instructor of Hanny Hanjour, who's alleged to have executed this very difficult maneuver in order to hit the Pentagon, said of him why he couldn't fly at all. And yet experienced pilots said they couldn't have performed the feat that was attributed to Flight 77 and hitting the Pentagon. In fact, the air traffic controllers, Dave, all said they thought it was a small military fighter plane because a commercial carrier is simply not that maneuverable.
Exactly. So you have the patsies on both ends, but even more disturbing to me, Jim, is in both cases we have the suppression of the evidence. I mean, take us through what Johnson
right
did that was incomprehensible.
We're getting cut off again, but lots of suppression of evidence. In fact, the FBI was used as a filter for JFK so that they you know, for example, they didn't question the 10 closest witnesses to the limousine when Jack was assassinated. They never questioned them at all. Others, they did question. They didn't ask the right questions. And if they did happen to ask the right questions and got some information into the testimony, they simply changed it later. So there was a three-stage filter. Plus, they positioned FBI agents at the photo processing labs in Dallas for 2 weeks after the assassination, where they took any photos or films related to the assassination and left a card saying the government had appropriated them. And, you know, some of them were returned, but the vast majority simply disappeared. So, Dave, really, it's really shocking, you know, and here you don't have an investigation by the National Transportation Safety Board, and you have a commission formed, and the status of these commissions is very ambiguous from a legal point of view. They're advisory boards to the President of the United States. The Warren Commission report was an advisory report to the President of the United States. The 9/11 Commission Board was an advisory to the President of the United States. So who's to say what legal standing they have at all? Probably practically none. And there were strong dissident voices, even to the Warren Commission report. For example, Richard Russell and John Stebbins and Hale Boggs all had views that were at odds with some of the major findings of the commission, which they wanted it to be published in a minority report. And of course, they were assured they would be, but then it did not happen, so that their minority views were never publicized. And instead, it was used as a propaganda vehicle to create the impression that everyone had exactly the same opinion about this. Dave, we may want to reconnect because I'm hopeful that you can still hear me, but I can no longer hear you.
We were taken down, and I'd like to say this is an uncommon event here on my show, but increasingly when we talk about delicate subjects like this that some people don't like, this isn't the first time this has happened to me. A year ago in July, as my news director, my audience can attest to, I had 8 shots fired over my house in the last 2 minutes of my interview with Jim Mars.
Oh, that's unreal.
The police came out eventually. And we had 3 eyewitnesses in the neighborhood to it, our next-door couple, a couple across the street. And so this is not the first time I was taken down. I got a loud shrill on my Comrex, and that's the device I use to connect with a network. And you were gone, and I was still showing being live. And I'm talking to you right now through my cell phone while our producer, Mike, is working on the problem. So... Okay, and our producer, Mike, has just told us that we have Andy DeRiso on. So, Jim, let me step aside just for a second and welcome our news director of the Common Sense Show, Andy DeRiso. Hi, Andy. You're on with Dave and Jim Fetzer.
Okay, great. Hi, everybody, and hi, Jim.
Greetings. How are you?
I was just wanting to ask you about this BBC report that came out about Building 11, you know, being collapsed 30 minutes before Silverstein
Building 7,
gave the order to pull it.
Building 7, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Jane Stanley. She gave a report at 4:57 that Building 7, which she referred to as the Solomon Brothers building because the Solomon Brothers owned 20 or 30 floors there. The building was so robust that they actually redesigned the building within the building with no effort whatsoever, that the Solomon Brothers building had collapsed. And right over her shoulder, right over her left shoulder, you could see Building 7 standing in the background. In fact, it wouldn't collapse for 23 more minutes. This, Annie, to me, is the most striking illustration of all time of collusion between the mass media, the government, the intelligence agencies. Here she was, putting out a report that was clearly getting ahead of the script so that, you know, many of these events had a scripted aspect to them. In fact, the whole 9/11 scenario appears to have been run as though it were a Hollywood movie with special effects and special settings and special conversation.
And from what I understand, too, there was really no reason to pull that building. It wasn't that damaged.
Yeah. It was extremely robust. Let me tell you a little bit about it. It was erected over 2 enormous electrical generators providing electricity for lower Manhattan. And I have seen a comparison of the steel that was used in the Twin Towers, which was hollowed out at the center because that provides nearly as much strength as solid steel beams. But in Building 7, they used solid steel beams. My belief is that Building 7 was intended to never collapse. I mean, I believe it was the most robust building ever designed in the history of civil engineering. And yet, clearly, it was very thoroughly prepped. We know from a fellow by the name of Barry Jennings, who worked for Rudy Giuliani's emergency preparedness unit, that he went to the mayor's command and control center, which occupied 2 floors and had its own air and water supply. And he found sandwiches half eaten. He found coffee still steaming. When someone showed up and said, "We got to get you out of here," he said the whole time they were getting him out of here, he heard explosions inside the building, that a staircase he was on was blown out beneath him, that he realized he was stepping over what appeared to him to be human bodies, though it was in pitch blackness, so he never actually saw them, and firemen helped to get him out of the building. Now, this was in the morning, when, you know, no one knew that anything special was going on with Building 7. Now, you allude to the word poll, which Larry Silverstein gave in a PBS interview. He said he was talking to the fire commander, and that verbal pause tells me he knew this guy under a different designation, and said to him, there'd been so much loss of life and destruction, maybe the best thing to do was to pull it. He said they made the decision to pull, and we watched the building come down. Now, the claim has been made by apologists for the government that he meant pull the firemen out of the building, but there were no firemen in the building at that point in time. Pull it is a common construction term for bringing down by demolition. And yes. The whole context of the conversation, the syntax or grammar, the semantics or meaning, and the pragmatics or the context all indicate that he was talking to the fire commander about bringing the building down by a controlled demolition, which is precisely what happened. He said they made the decision to pull it. We watched the building come down, which, of course, implies the building had to be prepped well in advance or that could not have taken place.
Exactly.
So this is rather stunning event.
That's one of the strong points of 9/11, period. And I think, too, I'm beginning to think, I'll put it that way, that 9/11 also serves a great purpose for the powers that be to, I mean, that's when they really started laying the ground.
Yeah, we're going to, you know, that's a great point, Annie. And we're going to pick that point up when we come back. And I'm hoping everyone can hear me. I think I'm reconnected now with the network. Stay tuned, everybody. We'll be back with Jim and Annie after a word from these sponsors.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, hempusa.org brings you a new formulation of microplant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Microplant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At hempusa.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, microplant powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at hempusa.org today.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Here is what one satisfied customer had to say about Heart and Body Extract regarding his angina pain.
I haven't had an angina pain since I've been on it. The Heart Body Extract is just so great. I thank God that I was led to this product that's doing so much for me and that can do so much for other people.
Call to order your 2 month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Do you need help getting your child to behave? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'm willing to give away thousands of my best-selling total transformation programs for free. All you do is tell us how the program works for you and your family. Did it turn around your child's behavior? Did the screaming and arguing stop in your home? Is he doing better in school? The total transformation has helped hundreds of thousands of families. I want to see what it can do for you, and I'm willing to let you have it for free. Just order my program. Use it with your child, then send me your feedback. I'll refund the purchase price of the program. You keep the Total Transformation Program forever, for free. You don't have to struggle with your child's bad behavior one more day, because now you can try my Total Transformation, and the program will be free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Welcome back. Our special guest is Dr. Jim Fetzer, founder of 9/11 Scholars for Truth. And hey, guys, what was really weird about me being taken down here was that my producer during the show was telling me he was showing I was connected. My Comrex box showed that I was connected. So something happened at the signal level. And Annie, I think you have to admit here, this has happened too many times at key points with high-profile guests. Never happens when we do the news. Never happens if I'm reading a commercial spot. It's you know, I hate to say I'm paranoid, but Annie, maybe I better take that medication. But Annie, you raised a really good point. Jim, up until this time, with the Kennedy assassination, for most people, it's a parlor game, you know, in regard to the magic bullet, the timing problem. But very few people ever get into the whys and the wherefores. And the same thing is true with 9/11. We can talk about the insufficient debris field, the suppression of evidence like the videotapes for the Pentagon, what struck the Pentagon smaller than a plane. We go through all those things, but we're stuck, for the lack of a pun here, at ground zero and not really talking about the why. And that's what I think Annie was alluding to when we went into the break.
Yeah, well, I talk about the why. In fact, in a freedom rally held in the grass in front of the Capitol building on the 15th of April, 2008, I gave a presentation. It was in honor of Ron Paul. I gave a presentation that has been published under the heading 9/11 and the Neocon Agenda, in which I point out that there were three principal motives that appear to have driven the events of 9/11, which were intended to instill fear into the American people in order to manipulate us into supporting a foreign policy involving wars of aggression that we otherwise would never have considered. It was so contrary to our country's history and values. And those three motives were oil, Israel, and ideology. Oil, of course, was to take control of the Iraqi oil, which could be beneficial in two different ways. You either take it out of the ground on the cheap and sell it dear and make a big profit, or you leave it in the ground and drive up the price of the rest of the world's supply. Israel, we were there dismantling the most modern and sophisticated Arab state, which had a wonderful national health care system, public education, antiquities dating back thousands of years, a reliable infrastructure providing water and electricity. But Israel resented Saddam Hussein in part because he was providing $25,000 bounties to the families of suicide bombers, and they wanted to clear away that powerful influence of the Middle East to enhance the role of Israel in that region. And then finally, you had the ideological drive of the neocons themselves to create a worldwide empire now that the United States was the sole remaining superpower by putting American military and political force into the Middle East and then projecting it outward from that geopolitically sensitive region. None of this has played out quite the way it was intended. And, of course, in Afghanistan, there's an additional motive for building a pipeline across the northern part of that country. And it also appears now, Dave, to protect the opium fields. As you may well know, the CIA is the biggest drug-dealing operation in the world, and they need to maintain their supply.
You know, I know you don't say that lightly, Jim, and neither did my father, former naval officer, worked in intelligence. He said the same thing. He said, you want to know who the biggest drug dealers are? It's the CIA, which is one of the reasons we got Vietnam, because of the Golden Triangle.
Yes. Yes, and also because of offshore oil. In fact, about 1968...
Well, Jim, hold that right there, because we're up against the break, and I don't want to interrupt that flow of thought here. Let's hit it up with the offshore oil and the CIA and drug dealing when we come back in hour number two with Jim Fetzer. Stay tuned, everybody.
With